I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Folks, welcome to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. We're so glad you're here. And on this special episode, we have some pretty big and exciting news to share with everybody. Rob, what have you been up to?
Hey, Brittany. You know, I've been out doing a little fishing recently. My boys and I did a little nighttime fishing on the Verdigris River in the Flint Hills. Went and caught some bluegill, and anytime you do that, it's kind of, you got to make it an event out of it, right? Because you got to go catch bait, then you got to tote along your weed eater to cut a path down to the river and set up your lantern, and you got your bait bucket and the whole thing. But we managed to catch a couple nice channel cats. We were hoping for one of those big monster flathead catfish. It didn't happen, so that means we'll just have to go again. But it's definitely that time of year when all of the fishing things are happening. And, I think that's a great segue, in what you'd mentioned of a big announcement for our listeners and our followers.
Yeah. I'm super happy to introduce our newest guest and our newest partner in crime to everything Great Plains Outdoors, Brent Frizee. Brent is a longtime outdoor writer with a very successful tenure at the Kansas Star before moving to freelance work. He's an avid angler and is always tracking the fishing bite on the Great Plains, and we're super thankful for that report that he has. Brent is also our newest partner in a very exciting new venture and adventure, GreatPlainsOutdoors.com. Write that down. The new authority on what is happening on the Great Plains Outdoors. The Great Plains Outdoors is a new website designated for multimedia coverage for everything outdoors on the Great Plains. And we're super excited about it. And we're really excited to be introducing Brent to everybody today. Brent, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Brittany. I'm honored to be part of the team here. I've been writing about the Kansas outdoors and Iowa and Nebraska. I've been writing about it for years. I love it. I love to fish the Great Plains outdoors. Most people think of hunting when they think about the Great Plains, and there's some fantastic hunting, but there's some fantastic fishing too. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to do a fishing report and give you some highlights of what's going on in the different states. So I'm looking forward to this. This is great.
Yep, Brent. You know, I've known you primarily as an outdoor writing mentor, but also as a colleague for a while now in the outdoor writing industry. So tell us just a little bit about yourself, what you're into. Obviously, you mentioned you're into fishing on the Great Plains outdoors and just fishing in general. I know you like to trip down to Florida and some coastal stuff, and just about the concept of our new website, thegreatplainsoutdoors.com.
That's great. Well, I can tell you, I was born in a little log cabin in the wilderness. You know, it's when my parents homesteaded some land. We didn't have running water or electricity. That's how old I am. I'm an old guy. I'm kidding. Okay. But no, I'm from Rockford, Illinois, but my parents had a cottage in southern Wisconsin, and we would be there every weekend when I was growing up. And that's where I had my first date with my wife, who we're celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary. Our first date was at Lake Sherwood at my parents' cottage. Had some fantastic times. I learned to fish and hunt and just enjoy nature, just lake life. I mean, in the North Country, lake life is a part of culture. I mean, you go up there and you have fish fries. You go to these little bar and grills, and have these fantastic fish fries, walleyes, deep fried walleye and yellow perch, that type of thing. But that's really where my love of the outdoors could be traced to. I went to school, majored in journalism. I thought I was going to be a sports writer, a general sports writer. And for a while I was. But I went to Racine, Wisconsin, the newspaper there. We're getting complaints that we didn't have any outdoors in the newspaper because Wisconsin has fantastic deer hunting, as you all know. But at the time, Lake Michigan was just getting salmon and it was booming and we weren't writing a word about it. Sports editor asked, is there anybody who has any interest in fishing? And everybody else took a step back and I took a step forward and that's how it started. It was really fun. I got to fish with all these well-known charter captains and write about it. It was like, wow, what a great job.
That just
carried over. I mean, it just carried over to got a job in Kansas City, working in Missouri and covering Missouri and Kansas mostly. And I'm still doing that. Still doing that even in so-called retirement.
Retirement's a state of mind, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think what I love about your history, Brent, is I just think about how many, I mean, hundreds of thousands, maybe even more than that, individuals have read your articles and maybe have fell in love with the outdoors because of your writing. And I think that's just incredible.
Well, that's a great compliment. I mean, I just write them and I write what interests me and hope that it interests other people, you know, Brittany and I. And the thing that I love about our team here is we all have a passion for the outdoors. And don't take that too lightly, because there are a lot of people who, yeah, they do different things, but their passion is missing. And I love the passion that each one of us has. I mean, I will read what you're doing on Facebook or what you're doing with mentoring kids and Rob with your fantastic way that you're raising your kids in the outdoors. And I think, boy, how cool is this? If we can portray that passion to other people through our website and through our team, I think we've done a good job. I'm hoping we can, and I'm confident that we can, because we are, Rob, go into our multimedia approach or what we're planning to do through this, through our website.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that's this fantastic fit for the Great Plains Outdoors concept is those individual backgrounds and passions that you spoke about. So from mentoring to hunting and fishing and angling to writing and blogging, we've got all that covered. And not only from this informational perspective where Brent, I mean, you're a award-winning author, right? But we've got these different points of view where, you know, like you mentioned, I'm a father of boys and live in rural America on the Great Plains. Brent, you're a grandpa and you're living on the lake. You're enjoying that lake life. Brittany, you work in mentoring every day. You live near the largest city in the state of Kansas, so more of a metro area. And we each bring those points of view to the Great Plains. And so, you know, it's kind of funny that one of the parts of jumping into those characters and our fellowship, working with you, Brent, and developing this concept for the GreatPlainsOutdoors.com, we sort of assigned you the nickname Grandpa Fish. And I feel like it just stuck, right?
It has. I'd like to catch a grandpa fish. but yeah, I got a lot of gray hair and I am a grandpa. So, you know, I think it's funny. I mean, I really do. So Grandpa Fish I'll be.
Yep. That's fun. So I think that's a perfect nickname. And So bringing Brent into the fold at the greatplainsoutdoors.com, we've decided to add a regular segment. We try to put out podcasts weekly. It doesn't always happen that way, but at least once a month, we need to check in with Grandpa Fish on this segment and a part of the podcast. We're going to call Grandpa Fish's Fishing Report, and it'd be a monthly report on what the anglers on the Great Plains need to know, what's biting, what techniques to use, where to look for the fish, and just news in the fishing world on the Great Plains. Maybe somebody's caught a record fish. Maybe a certain fishery is experiencing flooding or drought, or there's a new access project going on where there's a new boat ramp, or all those things that I think are critical to the folks that, that love the Great Plains outdoors. Brent's going to bring that to us.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to the, doing that.
No one better than Grandpa Fish.
Hey, hey. So we start ready to start our June fishing report. This is our inaugural fishing report. As Rob said, this isn't going to be every lake in each of the states on the Great Plains. We're going to hit the highlights, and Rob or Brittany, feel free to check in during the report. If you've heard something that's worthy of mention also. So this is going to be our June fishing report. This is early June, so this is going to be from what's going on in late May and that type of thing. The biggest news, and not necessarily good news, but it seems like it happens every spring, every May, is that we've got some high water. Now, it's not as drastic as it is some years, but we do have some high water. Truman Lake is 10 feet high. I was really surprised when I looked at the Corps of Engineers water management reports. Tuttle Creek is not as usually at this time of the year is just high and out of control. It's not this time, it's 6 feet high. But we do have some high water at places like Stockton and Pomme de Terre and Truman in Missouri, and Perry and Clinton in Kansas. So, Milford is just about normal pool. Milford usually floods in the spring too. So, mm-hmm. So that is something to keep in mind. So that's the news that we're dealing with this week. As far as some fishing, I'm going to hit some highlights and we can go into this. I just got back from Lake of the Ozarks, and I love to fish in May at Lake of the Ozarks. A lot of times post-spawn, people will say, well, post-spawn, you know, they identify good fishing with during the spawn, but believe me, the fishing after the spawn can be just as good or better. The bass fishing at Lake of the Ozarks was off the hook. I mean, it was incredible. We had a day when three of us caught 73 bass.
Nice.
Catch and release. Now, a lot of them were 12 to 14 and a half inches long, but still, we were using light action rods And we were using a shaky head. Now we did use bait casting equipment for that, but using a shaky head and a Zoom Magnum finesse bait. And oh my goodness, what a blast. It was just, we were just walking them down these ledgy type points, and the fish were just stacked up on them. They were just stacked. And Brent, the crappie.
How, yes. What was the water temperature when you were there?
It was in the low 70s.
Okay.
It was in the low 70s. Yeah. So one of the keys at Lake of the Ozarks is that they're pulling a lot of water mm-hmm. from Truman, because Truman is high. And when you get current at Lake of the Ozarks, look out. I mean, you know, if you're planning a trip to Lake of the Ozarks, take a look at the current, you know, if they're releasing water into from Truman Dam into mm-hmm. Lake of the Ozarks, because that's when the shad stack up on these points and the bass are there. They are going crazy. It really is. So, and that's going to last for a while, because like I said, Truman is 10 feet high. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be releasing water into Lake of the Ozarks for quite a while. So that's a tip for you. I mean, if you're planning a trip, you know, I just talked to a guy the guy that I'm doing a story on. It's Big Ed Franco. And he said, as long as they're releasing that water and there's current, the bass fishing is going to be great.
Now, he said, Big Ed Franco, is he an Italian mobster on the side?
No, Big Ed is not Big Ed anymore. I mean, he used to be like me, a heavy guy. Call him Little Ed now. I mean, I hardly recognized him. I said, what have you done with Big Ed Franco? You know, he's
good for Ed.
He looks great. And Ed is such a great guy. He's such a great guide. I mean, we were catching so many bass. It was just crazy. So I wanted to tell you about the bass fishing. I also went crappie fishing post-spawn, but still catching big crappies at Lake of the Ozarks post-spawn. They were out in deeper water in front of the docks. You know, they usually spawn behind the docks. Mm-hmm. Well, they pull out after the spawn, and it was fantastic. We were fishing for suspended crappies. We could see them on the electronics, and then we would fish for these suspended crappies, kind of using the countdown method mm-hmm. to see where our baits, get our baits down to them. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had two 15-inch crappies, which is pretty big fish for me, a big crappie for me. I know you guys did better at Council Grove a couple weeks ago, but 15-inch crappie at Truman at Lake of the Ozarks is a pretty good fish.
That's fantastic.
So anyway, that's the first thing I wanted to tell you about. Rob and I were talking about this earlier, Lake McConaughey in Nebraska. Fantastic walleye fishing right now. And that's kind of predictable. After the walleye spawn, takes them several weeks for them to recover. And after they do that, they hit the flats, especially the mud flats, looking for larvae and insect larvae and things to feed on. And they go crazy. I mean, and if you look at some of the Facebook sites and that type of thing, my goodness, they're catching some big walleyes right now. It's really exciting. I mean, hopefully we can get up there and do a story for our website sometime on the walleye fishing on McConaughey. So that's something to keep in mind. Another thing that is a product of all the rain we've been getting and everything is they're sending a lot of current through Lake Taneycomo down near Branson. And they are catching big rainbows. I mean, yeah, we talk about the big brown trout they catch down there, and yeah, they're catching big browns, but the big news is they're catching big rainbow trout, and not just one person. I mean, it's quite a few people who are doing that. My friends at Lily's Landing down there at Lake Tanacomo, they're telling me that they're just having a lot of trophy rainbows being caught. Some of them are being caught on the upper end, which is the catch and release area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they get a picture before they release them, and then they turn them loose. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting about Lake Tanacomo also. Also, there are some big channel cat being caught in some of these Kansas rivers. You know, I'm hearing especially areas that are getting some inflow, like say maybe a little creek, mouth of a little creek, or just could be just out of a field or something where there's some inflow. People are starting to catch some really nice channel cats in Kansas, and that's only going to get better.
Yeah, you know, Brent, I saw some friends of mine sent me a picture. I saw it early this morning when I got up and had coffee, but I think they took it at about 2 o'clock this morning when they were catching fish, and it was just at a local city lake, and they landed a 63-pound flathead.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live near the Neosho and John Redmond Reservoir and the Cottonwood and the Verdigris, and Toronto's not too far, and Fall River. And, you know, the world record flathead is also the Kansas State record that came out of Elk City Reservoir, which is just downstream from me, too. You know, this area can be known for some big old yellow catfish for sure.
It's known for catfish in that part of the country. Yeah, it definitely is. One other thing I wanted to mention, another thing, really exciting thing that's going on right now is at Truman Lake, just above Truman Dam, not below, above, there's a weir there where a lot of people fish, and they are loading up on huge hybrids. You call them wipers in Kansas, that's fine. Big wipers and big white bass. So that's another thing. If you're looking for a place to go this weekend or in the near future, keep that in mind. And again, that is a fishery that it thrives on current. So don't put the trip off too long, because the best fishing occurs when they're pulling water from Truman and releasing it into Lake of the Ozarks through Truman Dam. So really a really good opportunity there. The smallmouth bass are starting to pick up at Milford Lake. And I also know that they're catching some white bass on like the riprapped areas and things like that. So there's another opportunity for you. I haven't heard a lot. Well, I talked to Joe Bragg, and they're still catching crappies at Council Grove, I know. So again, they're in the post-spawn, mostly in the post-spawn mode. So he's still catching some good catches of crappies. Rob, what have you heard about the crappie fishing in your area there?
You know, I haven't heard too much. Like you mentioned, our water has been up and down. John Redmond I just drove across the dam yesterday, and it is pretty high. I'm surprised they're not letting more water out than they are. Over at Kerwin, out in northwest Kansas, I talked to some friends about a week ago, and they were having some luck using vertical jigging for crappie in the timber. So that lake, they've been very dry out in that part of the country. I'd heard something about they got their first measurable rain out there in Phillips County like 1.8 inches, and that was the first measurable rain they'd had since last August.
Isn't that something? When we're just drowning over here, and it got this big drought over there. But usually, when you know, when, after they've had a drought and they get a lot of rain, it sets up just some fantastic fishing at those reservoirs out there in Western Kansas.
Yep.
Like Sebelius and
Sebelius, Webster up there at Harlan County in Nebraska. Yep. Yep.
And what's the Cedar Bluff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Cedar Bluff.
Yeah. The walleye fishing in Cedar Bluff the last several years has been pretty good, but I haven't heard anything recently.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But the big, so it's a mix. I mean, the people I know that love to fish farm ponds, and I know, Rob, you're one of those people, they're saying, hey, it's been terrible, because every time they get set to go, another heavy rain comes and it muddies up those ponds, and the ponds flood, and it's hard to even get to them.
Right. Access can be an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you can find a farm pond that's got a drainage, that's a rocky drainage, or, you know, a CRP field that's got heavy grass to filter off all the runoff, well, you can have some great fishing in this time of the year. And one of the big things about this early June is that bluegill fishing. I love to fish for bluegills with light line. I do it sometimes with a fly rod, but more often than not, I'll do it with an ultralight 4-pound test and just a little tiny hook and a bobber. And my goodness, you can have some fantastic fishing that way. So
I'm curious, Brent, as a longtime bluegill fisherman, what's your bait of choice? Crawlers, crickets?
Crickets and little twisters.
Okay.
Little twister tails. I like fishing with artificial bait. And I love nothing better than a little white twister tail, white or black twister tail, or if the water's murky, chartreuse, and just cast beyond their craters. I mean, bluegills are so easy to find in the spring, because if the water's halfway clear,
you'll see all these craters.
You'll see all these craters, and I love to cast beyond the nest and just slowly retrieve it over the nest and then let it drop. Then just cut your retrieve and let it flutter down. And that's a great, you know, they get mad. Something's invading their nest, and you can see the big bull bluegills. You can see them appear out of nowhere and come up and take that bait. And that is a blast.
Yeah. I've often heard it said that if a bluegill weighed much over 10 pounds, none of us would be able to land any of them.
Yeah, that is very true. Very true. So yeah, we're lucky, you know, we'll always have something to talk about in these reports, because, you know, we have, as I said, we have some fantastic hunting on the Great Plains, but not as well known. We have some really great fishing that some of it doesn't get a lot of publicity. And we're hoping to change that. We're going to give reports from different areas. If it's not in person, we're going to do it over the phone and get some people on here that are good guides and things like that, and just give some information on what's going on out there.
So Brittany, you're going to have a chance. I know you were at Lake Wilson not too long ago. I don't know if you had a chance to wet a line. You get a chance to do any fishing this summer?
Yeah, hopefully. We were out at Lake Wilson and a brute storm came through, so we really didn't get out and do much of anything. It's kind of It was kind of a sit around in the camper kind of weather. What I am excited about though is we are going to be up at Milford this weekend chasing some blue cat around. So I am pretty excited about that.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes.
I love the blue cat fishing up there. And that is a fantastic blue cat reservoir.
It is a blast. I have not really done much of that. Growing up out west, like you guys mentioned, it gets pretty dry out there. So like fishing is a very new venture for me in terms of in South Central Kansas and anywhere else. We just didn't do much of it. So I got the privilege of going out about this time last year, blue cat fishing for the first time off a boat at Milford. And it was just, I could have been out there all day, 5 days a week. I mean, it was just great. I could have quit my day job and just did that the rest of my life. It's really fun. So we've got about 25 kids lined up to go do the same thing. And it's just it's great when you see a kid pull big old catfish in. Their eyes
are bigger than they are.
Probably. Yeah, their eyes are just bigger than day and they can't stop grinning if they tried.
I love it. I love it. In fact, I'm taking a kid and his parent on a trip here at the lake I live on, Riss Lake, tomorrow morning. So I'm hoping that I can get them into some fish. The rain has murkied up the water, but there's a lot of fish in here. So we'll give it our best. That's for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to push through all that inclement weather, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be adjustable. That's the biggest thing. You have to adjust. And the nice thing, I love to fish for largemouth bass, but I love all species of fish. I'm one of those nuts who just like getting a bite, whether it's a carp or whatever. And, we've got some good crappies, good bass in here. We also have walleyes and things. So, a tip to people who are just starting off in fishing or whatever, always when the fishing gets tough, go point hopping. By that I mean find a main lake point and find out either use your electronics or you can stair step your way in, but points always hold fish. I mean, regardless of the season, wintertime, spring, fall, whatever, the points will always hold fish. In the early part of spring, look for secondary points. Those are the ones that are leading into and out of like the spawning coves that the fish use. But in the summertime, use the main lake points. And I like to find the points that have some deep water nearby so that, the long tapering points will work okay when it's windy and everything. But a lot of times fish like to relate to those points that have a drop off. And I'll fish the top end of the drop off because they're up there feeding. But when they have deep water nearby, like on a point with a drop off, if the weather gets kind of weird or something like that, they can drop out to deeper water.
Yep.
And not have to swim too far. So a main lake point with a good drop off to me is the places that I will look, especially once it starts to get hotter. That's the way to go. In Kansas and in a lot of our Great Plains reservoirs, they have really good populations of white bass. And there's two things. We're talking about June, so I'm talking about later on in June. That is a blast when the white bass come up, usually in the evening.
Yeah.
When they come up, and we call it fishing the jumps. And what that means is the fish are just going to town, pushing the shad up toward the surface, and you can see them. the best thing to do there is look for diving gulls, because the gulls will be, they can spot the shad, the schools of shad from up in the sky. And those poor shad, they're getting beat on from both directions. The fish, the white bass, are chasing them up to the surface, and the gulls can see it when they're the shad are down there, and they'll dive down and start feeding on them. And the third predator that comes into being is us. You know, you could throw you can do anything from throwing a jigging spoon and letting it sink through that shad school, because a lot of times the bigger white bass will hang below those smaller white bass that are beaten on the surface, and they're lazier. They wait for their counterparts to kind of stun the shad, and when they drift down, that's when they'll take them. So that's a good thing to do. Either or a little twister tail will work for those too, or a small topwater like a popar or something like that. That can be a fantastic way to catch them too. And you'll get into schools of hybrids busting the top if you don't think that's fun.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Milford's known for that. I've ran into that there before.
Yes, it's a blast.
Yep.
It's a blast. And use big old topwaters too. Use saltwater type, saltwater chugger baits, or I use a whopper plopper, which is a bass bait, but I'll use that for hybrids. And it's so much fun, because sometimes they'll come up and they will blast that topwater right out of the water and miss it, and then they'll hit it when it comes back down. I mean, it's like, wow. Well, that's basically what I've got for June. I mean, you know, Rob, do you set trot lines and limb lines and stuff for cats in summertime?
We do. We've been talking about that, setting some bank lines and trot lines and things like that. I think that's going to maybe be a good topic for our July fishing report. Those catfish are going to spawn, and I know there'll be some people out there trying to hand fish at that time, and where it's legal. And I know there's some jug fishing things going on where certain states have different regulations. So we'd love to hear that in maybe in the July fishing report. I think that really.
I'll have some firsthand reports on the jug fishing, because we do that. We do that out here, and it's a blast.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
It's a big party on a pontoon boat with.
I love it.
Chasing the jugs.
I love it. Well, I'm going to say that was a very successful, the first Grandpa fishing report here on Great Plains Outdoors.
Well, that's great. A lot to talk about in June. Like I think Rob was saying, we might not have as much material in July, because once it gets hot, the fishing does get tougher, but still there'll always be plenty to talk about.
Absolutely. And what a great resource you're going to be providing everybody and our listeners. How to fish, when to fish, where to fish. I'm looking forward to getting some feedback from all of our listeners on your fishing report.
Good
Absolutely.
Deal.
Absolutely. Yep. Brent, I'm excited to have you on board. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to jump over to the Great Plains. It's greatplainsoutdoors.com. Check out the articles. We'll have new articles coming up all the time. We're working on our schedule on who's writing what and what topics. And you can listen to the podcast from there. And we will be posting up recipes and gear reviews, all sorts of things about the Great Plains Outdoors. Sign up for the email there, get notifications, and share it with your friends. We're excited for this big announcement.
I wanted to tell you, you two, before we sign off, you do an excellent job on your podcast. You really do. I just signed up. I had been just going into your links, and but I signed up as a follower now, and I love it. You really have some interesting guests. It's really fun. So that's another great way, that's the established way of reaching out to experts on the Great Plains. So I'm looking forward to more of it.
Well, thanks for that, Brent. We are too. We want to just remind everybody one more time, go visit us at greatplainsoutdoors.com, our new venture and adventure. And don't forget to share our podcast. Let folks know about what's going on in the Great Plains.
Awesome. Well, see you guys later.
We'll see ya.
All right. Signing out.